From the high ground of Texas, it's Pratt on Texas.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas. Well, my friends, our Lone Star story of the day is the Republican Party of Texas chairman, Alan West, has resigned, hints at a run for political office. And I say, bring it on. The more the merrier in the primary. Our Lone Star story of the day is sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing the best service in DOT business and personal drug and alcohol testing since 1995. AlliedCompliance.com is how you get in touch with them. Also, Trump to Texas. He's got a big fundraiser and confirmed to appear at CPAC, which is going to be held in Dallas. And along with that, the continued mental illness of leftists, particularly those in academia, over, quote, democracy, end quote, and Trump. It is puzzling the way they speak as if they were a seventh grader, first time in debate, who've never even listened to themselves and understood what they're saying, how it can be taken exactly the opposite of what they mean or from the opposite point of view. We've got our Baker Hughes oil and gas rig count out. And also, a look at the Texas Public Utility Commission. Some suggested reforms are out in a report. And also, electric grid reforms, that kind of thing. And a lot of other news of Texas. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. Don't forget, if your commute's at a different time or you want to listen to the show at a different time, it's podcast now. People ask for it for years. Just visit PrattOnTexas.com. Today in Texas history, in 1897... Black leader Booker T. Washington delivered the first commencement address at Prairie View Normal Institute, now known as Prairie View A&M. He was a leading advocate of black advancement through self-help and solidarity programs in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, and a lot to be admired in Booker T. Washington. Let me tell you, his writings and things are very interesting and worth the read. That was today in 1897. You know what else happened today in 1974? I always love talking about this one or bringing it up. The Cleveland Indians held 10-cent beer night at the Major League Baseball game, and due to the drunken and unruly fans, the Indians had to forfeit to the Texas Rangers. This is also the day in 2015 that former Governor Rick Perry announced his 2016 presidential campaign. Well, there's one more bit of Texas history that is current news that needs to be covered. William St. John, dead at 99. Who is William St. John? One of three Pearl Harbor survivors in San Antonio. Now there's only two. He was looking to turn 100 at August 28th this year, but his health just began to fail rapidly, and he didn't make it. He was on the ground floor of America's entry into WW2 that started on that sleepy Sunday, December 7th, in Hawaii. And his death leaves San Antonio with just two surviving Pearl Harbor veterans, being a big military city. There have always been a lot of veterans there. Retired Air Force Tech Sergeant Kenneth Platt, who recently turned 100, and retired Navy Chief Petty Officer Gilbert Meyer, 97. Just a few years ago, the Pearl Harbor group in San Antonio, the Alamo City, had 64 members, but it's dwindled a lot, particularly in the last couple of years. And so we say thank you to William St. John. And right there, he was at Pearl Harbor, dead at 99 years of age. Let's move to our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by our friends at Allied Compliance Services. By the way, if you're a truck driver, you need to work with them. They are fantastic. Many truck drivers have told me. And they run great drug and alcohol testing programs, make it where it's all legal for your business, government, whatever. They do a lot of that, been doing it for a long time. Allied Compliance Services sponsors our Lone Star story of the day. Texas GOP's Alan West resigns after combative run as chair. Well, here's the one thing you can say about Alan West. He was never furniture. And we've had a lot of chairmen who were. He was never chair. He was a chairman, and he was a very active chairman. But, you know, the Associated propagandist Paul Weber had to lead with that headline, resigns after combative run. I don't know that it was particularly combative. He stood up for the party, for you, the people that vote in the primary, the people that go to their precinct conventions, their state, their county or senatorial district conventions, and form a platform, then go to the state convention and form a party platform. I mean, that's what a party's about. It's a repository of ideals that hold us together. and Alan West fought for it. The AP, of course, had to focus on his combative run. They write, West's departure ends a turbulent 11 months as an activist chairman who eschewed the job's usual role of party unity. That's a lot of bull anyway. And instead used the platform to pressure and criticize Abbott and other top Republican leaders. That included protesting last fall outside Abbott's mansion over coronavirus restrictions. Good. West called the new Republican Speaker of the House, Dade Phelan, a traitor for working with Democrats. And anyway, look. You got the general land office coming up. That's and because P. Bush is going to go run in the primary against Paxton for the attorney general spot. I don't know what he'll run to today. He spoke in White House today, which is just, you know, home of Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes. And right outside of Tyler, they're having a state Republican executive committee meeting. And they ask him, of course, that's all they want to know. And he said about what he's going to run for, what he's going to do. He said, I don't know, maybe dog catching. He was asked if all statewide offices are on the table. He said, why not? But then he took a jab at the former NFL player, Colin Allred, West, if you don't know, is a black man. Allred's a black man, but Allred's a liberal Democrat. And he got elected to Congress there in Dallas in 2018. And West lives in that district. He said, maybe even something congressional, because I do live in Texas 32, and there's a guy in Texas 32 that I really don't care for being my congressional representative, referring to Allred. And they ask him about, well, they want to push him into a governor's race. They know he's colorful. And some people want to, because they, in the media, they think it'd be fun. But anyway, he said, that they ask him, well, what about if you run for governor, you know, Trump's endorsed Abbott. And I thought he had one of the best responses to that I've heard anybody give. Quote, I don't serve President Trump. I serve God, country, and Texas. So that does not affect me whatsoever. There you go. Look, when Alan West ran, they had this big to-do. I had my questions. I certainly had my questions. Have I agreed with everything? No. I think there were a few cases that because he was listening to foaming at the mouth activists, and there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes it's good to foam at the mouth and scare the opposition. But because he was listening to some of them, he didn't quite know that in a few cases, particularly on some gun issues, he was actually making enemies of friends. But I will tell you this. They talk about in these stories about how he criticized. And by the way, today he had a lot of nice things to say about the things the legislature passed and then things he's disappointed in. He praised them for passing constitutional carry. But they pointed out that he got, you know, called Phelan a traitor and accused GOP lawmakers of trying to purposely derail looser gun laws that ultimately passed. It's not looser gun laws, restoration of the Second Amendment here, where you can actually do what it says, keep and bear arms. I don't like the tack he took a couple of times, but I will tell you this. He was right. In the long run, Alan West deserves much credit, because it looked like in the Senate that the constitutional carry was going to not make it and was just going to be set aside this time. And it wasn't until the public pressure built, and West was very much behind that, that it shook these people loose and into action. So I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. One thing Alan West deserves credit for is he's authentic. When he ran, I didn't know, you know, he's all red meat, but they all say that when they're running. Alan West proved out to be authentic. He did what he said he was going to do. Look, I admire that. I admire that more than people on my own side when it's somebody on the left, because there's so many of these mugwumps and fence sitters, and they're worthless. These mediocrity middle of the roaders. Alan West deserves credit for that. We'll see what happens.
The news and commentary of Texas continues after this.
A Texas Aggie from the big country said he and his wife visited Dr. Sylvia Zuniga at Dental Care in Costa Rica, spent about $7,000 on the entire trip, and yet saved over $5,000. He asked, how could it be any better? Our Aggie friend and listener wrote, thank you for recommending Sylvia. Her work and service was what you said it would be, very good. It took me several months of listening to you and researching on the internet to finally decide to do it. So glad I did. He added that the dental work he had done would have been about $12,000 at home, and of course that wouldn't have come with a fun vacation in which he and his wife toured volcanoes, hot springs, a nature and wildlife park, a coffee farm, a central market, and took a riverboat ride, went ziplining, and dined at some nice restaurants. Learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at PrattonTexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
Some claim to cover Texas. Here's a man who proves his claim daily. It's your Texas political swami, Robert Pratt, with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back. We'll get to all the Trump and Texas news in a moment. Our Baker Hughes rotary rig count for the oil patch is out, and the U.S. rig count declined by one. Texas rig count declined by two, and that's in spite of the fact that depleted inventories have actually pushed for a little bit of gains on prices of oil. I read a piece yesterday talking about just how absolutely cautious these folks are to come back into the field with more drilling rigs. But we're at 216 active drilling rigs for oil and gas in Texas. That, of course, from the Baker Hughes report on this Friday. Attorney General Paxton defends Second Amendment firearms with these magazine capacity bans. AG Paxton joined a coalition of 24 states urging the U.S. Supreme Court to strike down a New Jersey law that violates the Second Amendment by banning firearms with magazines that hold more than 10 bullets. Most popular firearms owned in the United States come standard with a range of 11 to 15 rounds, making New Jersey's law both unreasonable and unconstitutional, and that's in fitting with the Heller decision from the Supreme Court. In its amicus brief, the state's coalition asked the Supreme Court to take the case up and reverse a 2018 ruling by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit that upheld New Jersey's law. Paxton said New Jersey's law is a blatant violation of the Second Amendment, and its mere existence threatens the rights of law-abiding citizens. This law must be struck down. Criminalizing the possession of a magazine that is so commonly used leaves Americans defenseless and vulnerable, especially in high-crime areas. And it also, by the way, makes the gun almost useless in many cases because it ain't like movies. Often you'll see in these shootouts that they'll expend 14, 15 rounds, change magazines, do another, and they still didn't put anybody down when you got moving targets and stuff. Switching gears to the big issue, voting integrity laws or voter suppression laws and all that, our good old friend William Murchison. Bill Murchison had another piece at The Spectator, The Spectator World at spectator.us. Can't Texas decide how to run its own elections? This is typical Murchison. It's very good. I thought I'd share it with you. He'd like it if I shared it with you. Who'd have thought, I wouldn't have, speaking as a seventh-generation Texan, that the Texas legislature would be held up nationally for a good moral beating? Wham! Wham! Ow! Ow! Yet here we are. Our lawmakers, according to the standard media narrative, have been working to narrow the voting rights of the poor and the non-white. But then legislative Democrats saved us from this awful fate. On the last day of the session, as nasty white Republicans sought to pass a piece of mendacity disguised as voting reform, House Democrats decamped from the Capitol, denying the Republicans their quorum. Take that, you neo-Confederate Trump lovers! Or so goes the narrative, which is bosh mingled with rubbish. Pretty clearly, President Biden hadn't worked his way through the rubbish pile. A couple of days after the Democratic fight, he declared concerning the franchise, "This is sacred right is under assault with an intensity and aggressiveness we have not seen in a long, long time. It is simply un-American," end quote. This is heavy stuff. Un-American, eh? The bill the Democrats killed through their flight was anything but a measure meant to levy penalties on voters who lived in the wrong part of town or failed on examination to recite the Bill of Rights upside down and backwards. Among other things, the bill abolished drive-through voting and the unsolicited mailing of absentee voting applications. It provided an early voting period longer than that of Mr. Biden's home state of Delaware. In no way did the bill contemplate shrinking the voter pool. Texas turnout has increased greatly in recent years, due not least to the growing conversion of Hispanic voters in South Texas to economic growth and cultural conservatism. The last thing Republicans should be expected to do is dry up pools and ponds that could nourish their party. Democrats, with their devotion to racial politics and the demagoguery that goes with the species, responded by playing the Trump card. Look at those Republicans acquiescing in the fallen chieftain's charge that Biden stole the presidential election. Then, who's on the side of evil rights? Or civil rights, excuse me. Why, us Democrats. Over and over they repeat. A third issue they twirl about is they excoriate the Texas legislature and its Jim Crow freaks. The necessity, as Democrats present it, of nationalizing a considerable degree of our voting processes through enactment of the For the People Act, a.k.a. H.R. 1, already passed by the U.S. House, setting what a raft of political scientists in a statement this week chillingly call a comprehensive set of national standards. Unless we act, insist these scholars, some states will fail to meet the minimum conditions for free and fair elections. A declaration with the odor of political hooey. No doubt Texans will try again in a special legislative session to do the necessary job the Democrats kept from getting done last month. Once more unto the breach. Exactly. You just have to keep fighting back because it is a lot of political hooey. It stinks to everywhere, stinks in every direction of that. There's no reduction of voting in that. It is interesting how in that committee report, something that had not been in the bill at all showed up in the committee report at the last minute, and that was not starting Sunday early voting till 1 p.m. And all of a sudden, this is being, and you know why that was latched onto immediately across the media? And it wasn't in the original bills. Is because it's the only thing in the bill you can claim in any way whatsoever restricts voting. And yet they're telling you all of this is about restrictions of votings and rolling back voting rights, which of course it's not. And then I told you earlier this week, you know, I follow this every day. I've been involved in this, and I've been particularly involved in voting issues for decades. I mean, seriously involved. I was on an ad hoc committee related to some of this stuff for the Secretary of State at one time. I've never heard this claim that now fills every single media story in the country that was a specific thing that Sunday to stop something called Souls to the Polls, where black folks from churches go to vote. Yeah, I've never heard this. I'm not disputing there may be some new movement or some deal where they're trying to do turnout with that, but we've never heard that once. It's made up for the occasion. And then the House guy says that was a typo. It's supposed to be 11 a.m. The Senate guy didn't say that, but I thought the point made was a good one. Election, we have a very, very hard time staffing these things. Election judges and people ought to be able to go to church too on Sunday. What's the problem? We expanded the hours of early voting, expanded everything else in it in this bill. These Democrats want national standards. You know what the national standards are. It means no standards. You walk up and just claim you're anybody and vote. Same-day registration stuff, this is what the stuff the Democrats are for. Anyway, Murchison's piece at Spectator was pretty good today. By the way, not a pleasant day in the city of San Antonio for former councilman there, Chip Haas. He's 43 years old. He served on the city council in the Alamo City from 2003 to 2007. Police say he drove up to an officer posing as a prostitute and offered to pay her for sexual intercourse. And he now works in a governance role at a local nonprofit. And apparently he was arrested and is out on bond on prostitution charges, misdemeanor charges. There was an amazing story. I'm not going to give you any of it, but it was at the TimesRecordNews.com. That's the Wichita Falls Times Record News. And it's just awful. And it's just a glimpse at how these godless, evil people live. Wichita Falls couple arrested for sex trafficking a child. You got to go look at that. It's awful. Speaking of awful, a body of a newborn baby was found in a Houston area portable toilet. See, when you propagandize people that babies aren't human lives, people can just throw them away like a tissue mass. They found the child yesterday, and terrible story there. And the Abilene Museum director, director of the 12th Armored Division Memorial Museum, has been arrested on child pornography charges in the key city of Abilene. We'll get to Trump and all that politics in a moment, right here on the Texas Hour with Pratt on Texas.
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Standing in spirit with those who won Texas liberty and working to stop the hordes on the left, it's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back, friends and neighbors, to Pratt on Texas. Texas Hour. Donald Trump to headline high-dollar fundraiser in Dallas for the Make America Great Again Action Pack. That'll be on July 11th. It's $25,000 a couple or $15,000 per individual. So you can go to that if you want. But you know what? You might have a lot more fun if you like these kind of events. I don't. I just don't enjoy them. But CPAC, which is a big deal, and I think it'd be a lot of fun, is coming to Dallas. You know, they quit hosting it in D.C. all the time, which is great. They went to Florida, I think, last. Now they're going to be in Dallas. And headline in the Dallas Morning News and a story by Todd J. Gilman. Next stop on Donald Trump's political comeback tour, Dallas in July for CPAC. Gosh, just hear it reading Dallas in July makes me want to drive high up in the mountains away from the humidity and heat. We're honored that President Donald Trump will end CPAC Texas. I guess this is not the national, is this the state one? Maybe so, or maybe they're just calling it CPAC Texas. I thought it was it's the main one from the American Conservative Union. I knew they were going to move around. I just noticed they inserted CPAC Texas here. I guess that's what they're calling it since it's in Texas. We are honored that President Trump will end CPAC Texas on a high note and remind us that freedom means never being silenced, tweeted Matt Schlapp, chairman of the American Conservative Union that puts this on every year, except for the 9th through the 11th at the Hilton Anatole. And you got a lot of future presidents have come out of this deal. It's a big political stepping stone. Trump's speech is going to be on the final day of that. The American Conservative Union picked America Uncanceled as the theme for this year's conferences. I like that. Somebody that's had the corporate, out-of-state corporate muzzle slammed down on you, or apparently, I don't know, they won't say. Schlapp and his wife Mercedes Schlapp, Director of Strategic Communications in the Trump White House, are scheduled to speak. So are former Housing Secretary Ben Carson, two congressmen, Representative Ronnie Jackson, that's great, of Amarillo, former White House physician, and we know Ronnie Jackson, he's a friend. Roger Williams, supposed to speak, and other speakers include KT McFarland, former Deputy National Security Advisor under Trump, and James O'Keefe with Project Veritas. They're out with some new stuff, too, as a matter of fact, over Facebook, if you want to go take a look at the Project Veritas website. Also in Texas, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo speaking at a Christian media convention in Grapevine. That's right. That is this month. It will be the National Religious Broadcasters Annual Convention, June 24th. And he's going to speak, Pompeo, the former Secretary of State, on Israel, the Abraham Accords, and international religious freedom. Of course, before he was in the cabinet for Trump, he was director of the CIA and a four-term congressman from Kansas, and he is a major proponent of religious freedom, and we like Pompeo a lot here. Asian American Pacific Islander Super PAC pledges to invest millions in Texas Democratic Party. This is a big feature-length piece at the Dallas Morning News. It doesn't really say much. They already spent $1 million here in the state. Now they're just going to spend a little more. They make all these demographic claims, and then the writer, to his credit, goes to these typical professor types who point out, look, it's not just as easy as saying, oh, we'll increase our number of Asian Americans in Texas, we'll increase our number of voting-eligible Latino voters, and that means all of a sudden Democrats will start winning landslides. A lot of people don't go along with them. One of these, this is a UT Tyler prof they were talking to, they pointed out in here that, you know, until not that long ago, most Asian Americans were trending Republican. And so there's been a little change, but we'll see. It's a really big, long piece. It's not, it's really good for political junkies. If you want to read all that, other than that, there's not much more to say about it. It's just more of this, well, the demographics are changing, so we're going to automatically win stuff. They claim that that's not it. They know better, but we'll see. Trump's grip on GOP sparks fears about democratic process. Did you know that? That Trump's grip on the grand old party, the Republican Party, is sparking fears about democratic process? With whom? Well, I'll tell you with whom. Stupid people, delusional people, crazy people, a.k.a. lefties. That's it. This big AP piece by Nicholas Riccardi came out today. And here's part of it. To democracy advocates, Democrats and others, the persistence of the GOP's election denial, what denial? We're claiming there was cheating. There probably was. There's always some. We know there have been some. There was some, even the Democrats. Well, there were some. It just wasn't widespread. That's why they always use that term, widespread. Well, hell, it only needed to happen in three or four cities and three swing states to change the election, and just in their big major Democrat-run cities. So it could not be widespread and still be affect the entire election. How the hell do you think LBJ got into Congress? You just needed those Duval County votes. Anyway, they say that to democracy advocates, Democrats and others, the persistence of the GOP's election denial shows how Republican Party is increasingly open to bucking democratic norms, particularly the bipartisan respect traditionally afforded to election results, even after a bitter campaign. Now, I seem to remember there were Congress critters and others in the Democrat Party that claimed Trump never won the election against Hillary Clinton. Wasn't there big minority members of Congress, or at least one or two, that wouldn't go to the inauguration and stuff? Because, see, that never gets mentioned. And yet that stuff has always existed on the left, too. Now, listen to this quote. We have to face the facts that Republicans, obviously with exceptions, have become an authoritarian party. Said Stephen Levitsky, a Harvard political scientist and co-author of the book, How Democracies Die. Really? How have the Republican Party become authoritarian? In what way? Where? I'm in it. I don't see any of that. I'm anti-authoritarian as you can get. Harvard political scientists. There's not much science in political science. Anyway, he said, it's impossible to sustain a democracy in a two-party system when one of the parties is not willing to play by the rules of the game. Bingo. See, that's why I keep telling you, these people may have titles, but they're not very smart. What that says is this guy doesn't have any objectivity in his looking. He sees everything from not from a scholar's point of view, but from purely his partisan worldview. It never dawns on him that that statement is exactly what Republicans are objecting to. Democrats not playing by the rules, but instead engaging in all sorts of things outside of the norm to win. From 24-hour and drive-through voting to same-day registration to shutting out watchers and ending transparency in key areas to fraud in Democrat-controlled cities and much more. Think about his quote. It's impossible to sustain a democracy in a two-party system when one of the parties is not willing to play by the rules of the game. And he means the Republican Party. Excuse me, how are Republicans not playing by the rules of the game? Who's in the White House right now? The Democrats. Whether they cheated their way in or not. I'm sure there was cheating. There always is. Whether they cheated their ways in or not. Who's not? This is crazy talk. He is completely unable to understand that that is our position. That the Democratic Party played fast and loose, using COVID as an excuse particularly, to change rules. And that's inarguable, professor. It's inarguable. They changed the voting rules, the early voting, the hours and early voting, all over this country and in key areas. Without legislatures doing it, without any of the norms you so want to protect. And that's what we're arguing, that they didn't play by the rules. They're not respecting what it takes for democracy to survive. And they say in the piece, of course, in the AP piece, for his part, Trump continues to push Republicans to embrace his election lies. Notice they don't call this editorializing. They can just say, oh, it's lies. But then you get back to these people, this Levitsky. But Levitsky and others warn there are several weak points in the U.S. system where a political party could simply refuse to allow its opponent to formally win a presidential election. To this next bit in the next segment. Stay with us.
He's only silent during the breaks. Pratt's back after this.
I've told you about my wonderful experience with Dr. Silvia Zuniga in dental care in Costa Rica. Not only was it among the most positive experiences and best dental work I've experienced, my trip to Costa Rica, one of the hottest tourist destinations on the planet, included a top hotel for a week, fancy dinners, airfare for both Isabel and me, and even a private driver, and the entire bill, total spending, was less than half of the best quote I got at home, a quote that was for much less dental work than I obtained from Dr. Zuniga. A couple from Lubbock now knows what I mean. They wrote to say, we used your suggestion to go to Sylvia in Costa Rica. She was wonderful. Instead of $7,400, I spent $1,640, and not only for my dental work, but for my husband's too. It was a refreshing adventure, and she guided us in things to do. Thank you for letting listeners know. If you have big dental needs and challenges, learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. See Silvia's beautiful face and click the banner at my website, prattontexas.com.
Joining the late William F. Buckley, standing athwart history and yelling, stop, it's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back. The big piece, Trump's grip on GOP sparks fears about democratic process. It's a big AP piece, and it's nothing but propaganda from the left, and it's crazy. You got this Stephen Levitsky, a Harvard professor, who wrote a book on how democracies die, making statements that he's so biased in his view, he doesn't understand that his statement's exactly what we see the left doing in this country. Anyway, he goes on in this. I'm more concerned about this now than I was on January 7th. Oh, this is a different guy. Edward Foley, a law professor at The Ohio State University who studies election disputes. Quote, it seems that over the months, the lesson has not been never again, but how to be more effective next time. Now, folks, he's charging that it's not that we shouldn't ever. He's charging the lesson that we're all out doing is how to be more effective at charging there were irregularities and upsetting the election. But just listen to it on the face of his statement. It seems that over the months, the lesson has not been never again, but how to be more effective next time. Now, who does that really fit? That fits the Democrats. You know, the idea if we're all American and believe in the process, the work should be about, you know, these election integrity bills that some states are taking up that Texas failed to get done yet. In other words, never again. We're going to fix things so this stuff doesn't happen and people don't have such questions about it. And so we don't make it so easy for people to claim that election was stolen. He's applying this the other way around, though, saying we're all out there trying to figure out how to be more effective at upsetting it next time. Well, right, Foley, but not. It's not by conservatives, that's by the left. They're not the ones saying, oh, we can't have this appearance ever again. We've got to strengthen poll watcher laws and transparency. No, they're the ones out saying, let's be more effective next time at changing the rules on the fly so we ensure Democratic victories. But again, these people live in such an alternate universe, they don't even recognize their own substantial bias when they talk as scholars on the issue. Trey Grayson, former Kentucky Secretary of State and one of these lightweight Republicans who's been really critical of Trump for claiming election fraud, says, this strikes me as being overblown and all this. He said that a comparable worry is that voting procedures have become a partisan issue like taxes and abortion. And again, these people to ignorant people, these statements sound good. My question would be, this is new, how and when? Since when has voting issues not been partisan, like taxes and abortion? Did you forget the whites-only primary that the Texas Democratic Party instituted and had to go lost in the Supreme Court over early in the 20th century? You forget the cheating of LBJ and everybody else? Back to the Levitsky. He said the United States' complex electoral system stands out among international democracies by vesting oversight of elections in local partisan officials. So in other words, we'd have no problem if they were federal partisan officials. It's just those locals. He said, we rely a lot on local officials, and if one party decides not to behave, we're in for a world of trouble. Right. And that's been the history of the Democratic Party. From whites-only primary efforts to LBJ blatantly stealing a seat in the U.S. Senate to go on to be president. It's not Republicans misbehaving. They're doing normal things such as auditing and calling for more transparency in elections and greater penalties for fraud. No, it's Democrats not behaving by demonizing anyone and everyone who dares suggest we take a look at their behavior. And yet those of us who want more enforcement of rules against fraud and more transparency in the election process are claiming that it's our actions that are there to destroy democracy. It's shocking that people, well, it's not really to me because I've never had that much respect for them, but to a lot of people, it's shocking that these credentialed people with their prestigious positions can be so absolutely unaware of that, of the game as it's played on the ground. But that's why we've always said they live in a cloud or in an ivory tower or in an alternate universe or in a closed community on a university campus. They simply don't know what's going on. Switching gears, Houston Chronicle had a piece out. A new report by former PUC commissioners offers proposals to fix the Texas power grid. Weatherization's in there, backup power, requiring all critical facilities to have 2 days worth of backup power in some form of or another. That's expensive. Housing efficiency, typical left-wing bullcrap. Increase energy efficiency retrofits for low-income and multifamily housing across Texas. Make low-income homes, heaters, and air conditioners be more efficient will reduce peak demand. You know, that's super stupid. It's the same BS we've seen since the 70s with every kind of program to do that, and it's just dumb. Strengthen the PUC. That's right, they're former PUC commissioners. They want more power in the hands of bureaucrats. May I remind you, it was the bureaucrats at the PUC that screwed up the most in this thing, particularly with the pricing. More bureaucracy. Release investigative findings to the public. Okay, but who's doing the investigation? Are they actual, real, straightforward investigations, or are they political hit piece investigations? You've got to consider that. Clearly defined price gouging for natural gas under emergency conditions. Okay, maybe so. And then there's a major feature-length piece by Shelby Webb at the Houston Chronicle. An easier way to go find it is go to fuelfix.com. Here's the headline. Wind and solar power is rapidly growing in Texas, but ERCOT limits how much goes to the grid. Well, it's not exactly as it sounds, like ERCOT saying, well, we got the power, but we refuse to put it on the grid. They talked to that fake Republican, Drew Darby of San Angelo, who appears to be a massive cheerleader for these windmills and everything being all over the place. Calls it economic development. Hey, you know, my hometown went for that stuff. And guess what's happened since then? There hadn't been any new businesses open up. In fact, a whole bunch of the stalwart businesses, including restaurants that have been there for decades, have all closed since all those wind power things got built. What they're really talking about economic in most of these deals, folks, is that a bunch of government people at a school district or a courthouse get their hands on a bunch of government money to waste. That's what their form of economic development is. Except maybe in a couple of cases, where you might have a big distribution facility or something like that, these wind power things aren't bringing in a whole bunch of new people and all of a sudden reinvigorating the rural economies like Drew Darby seems to claim happens in this piece. Anyway, they went on talking about an ERCOT board meeting, and they're just talking about something standard. If you read the whole piece, you find out this is not unique to ERCOT. It exists on all grids. That it takes 18 to 24 months to develop a wind or solar farm, but up to 6 years to complete the transmission upgrades. And then they talk about that last big billions of dollars that all the ratepayers on ERCOT had to pay for the CREZ lines to connect all these wind power things. Well, they're at capacity. They talk about how these areas have, you know, more than 20,000 watts generated in an area, megawatts, but they can only put about 12,000 on the transmission lines. It cost electric customers $6.9 billion in higher rates on the ERCOT over the last many years, well above the original projection of $4.9 billion, Due to rerouting lines and inflation and other issues, the last time we built out the stuff, these CREZ lines. Notice that $4.9 billion was what they estimated. Actually, originally, they said it was $2 billion. We covered all of that. It ended up being $6.9 billion, and ratepayers had to pay it. And it's not that the government said no, it just takes time. And they talked to guys, says Texas isn't unique in this. It's an interesting piece if you're really interested in the, and there was another piece to part to comment on about the, you got to build more lines. Remember who fought the lines the hardest? Oh, all those liberals in the Hill Country. They're ugly. They ruin the environment. They want all the renewable energy, but they don't want to have a way to get it there. It's typical of the left. It's an interesting piece, and find it at fuelfix.com. Long live liberty. Long live Texas. And may God continue to bless us all. Have a great weekend. Adios, mis amigos.
Recording artist Kevin Fowler.
Oh, I love to see those fireflies buzzing, lighting up the southern sky. Yeah, I'm a hell being 100% Texan till I die. You know I'm a wild man, but even I know nobody's waterproof. You gotta play it safe. Wear a life jacket and designate a driver for the boat and for a safe ride home.
Sponsored by Texas Parks and Wildlife.